Okay, folks, before we jump into the interview with Flight Claims CEO and founder Jacob, I'm going to talk a little bit about our sponsors. Happy to announce our first broker sponsor and first new sponsor for 2023 is Avail Risk Management and Consulting, or Avail Insurance. Avail is a new broker that is bringing social enterprise, philanthropy, and technology all into the broker and insurance space. They're also doing some pretty cool, innovative things that we'll unpack in our upcoming interview with them. Stay tuned for that as I sit down with their CEO. And a big shout out to Truefla Technology, our very first sponsor who came forward in 2022. We've done a really great Calgary Stampede event with them, and there's a plaque in the background there to memorialize that event. And we're looking forward to more sponsors joining this year to support all of the events and meetups we're going to be hosting throughout the year, and some really cool programs that we'll be unveiling in the coming weeks and months. Without further ado, please enjoy this interview with founder and CEO Jacob Charbonneau of Flight Claim. Flight Claim is a consumer advocacy platform for flight delays, cancellations, and any flight claim really that you have with the airlines. Most people don't know their rights, their entitlements. There's billions of dollars out there owed to consumers, and Jacob has brought that solution to the market. I know you're going to enjoy this interview. So without any further ado, here is Jacob and the Flight Claim story. Enjoy. All right, Jacob. Thanks for joining me tonight on the InsurTech Canada podcast. It's a chilly, freezing rain evening here in Ontario, and I hear it's coming your way in Quebec. So we're staying indoors and staying safe. I hope everybody else is safe on the roads as well. And I'm sure with the weather, there's going to be lots of flight claims. So it's kind of funny that we're talking tonight, because I actually have friends that are stuck in the U.S. right now. As we speak, because their flights got canceled. So, maybe we'll bring them into the podcast and you can give them advice.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So, Jacob, just wanted to give you an opportunity, Jacob Charbonneau, to introduce yourself, talk a little bit about your origin story. It's always a good place to start. You know, you came up with this idea, Flight Claim. I'll let you tell the story in your own words. Where did it all begin?
Yeah, sure. So before starting the flight claim business, I actually worked for an airline. So I spent almost 10 years working at the airline, one of the biggest in Canada, doing process optimization and customer experience for all Canada and part of Europe. Then I did a MBA, executive MBA, and we kind of launched the idea in a innovation courses, business model innovation, a little bit like just at the beginning it was kind of a joke, because nobody knew about their rights, nobody knew that they can claim. And I was working at the airline, so I knew that the model was broken and how hard it was for the customer to get compensation. And at the moment, it's just because they didn't know. It was not even because it was tough to get it. They just didn't know. They weren't taught. People loved it. So we started looking at the market. And at the moment, we realized that it was less than 2%. Of the passengers that were eligible for a claim that were actually claiming, because they didn't know. There were some regulation that were applying to Canada. European regulation was applying for the Canadian-European flight, but there were regulation that were there since the year 2000 for the Montreal Convention, and nobody knew about it. So we had something to do. We need to educate the people. So we found our niche, to be there for the people, just to educate them. And we started as a B2C company to help those passengers that had issue that came after the fact. And we wanted to have a no risk, no fee model. So our model was people, they had issue, they came on a website, they fill out a form, We analyzed that they're entitled to a compensation, and then we were claiming for them. There were no out of pocket, and we were keeping 25% of the compensation when they were paid by the airline. So we did that for a few years. We advocate for the new regulation in Canada, so the new Bill of Rights, that came into place in 2019, December 2019. So mm-hmm. we had an amazing growth with our B2C model. And then 2 months after that, the pandemic just hit all the travel industry and ground all the flight, and we closed the border. Right. So we sat down with the travelers and the industry to see how we could evolve our model to really be there. And we realized that now that the new regulation was in place, the issue was that the people, they were, they didn't know the right. They didn't know what was the duty of the airline. Mm-hmm. And the way that the airline treat the people and make it hard for them to get compensation or to give them the real story behind it. Because what we found now is that 90% of the passenger won't go through the claim compensation because it's too long, it's too tough. They make it difficult for the passenger to do it. So we right. wanted to simplify that. So what we did, we took all the knowledge that we had and we pivoted our model to go from a B2C model to a B2B SaaS model.
Okay.
With our new virtual travel assistance, which is called Peace of Mind. And what that does, actually, we're following the passenger from the purchase of the trip. Mm-hmm. So we monitor the flight, we inform them if there's any change in real time, but we also educate them on what's their right and what's the duty of the airline for this specific situation. So all passengers can then become specialists for their specific situation and really know what they're entitled of. Right. If you're not entitled to know what's the duty of the airline, and we go and get the compensation in real time as well. So we automated all our process, so it's 100% automated, and we distribute our new product through, obviously travel insurance, group mm-hmm. benefit insurance as well, large travel group credit card as well.
Wow, that's an amazing story and quite the opening. There's a lot there, and I love it. I love all of it. You and I first met at a Holt event in Montreal, and we were introduced, and you told me about the story of Flight Claim. And the first thing that stood out to me was the consumer advocacy piece, what you're doing to inform and educate the consumer. I didn't even realize that it was less than 2% that actually make a claim or know their rights. So that number is staggering. And I love how it started out as a project for your MBA, and then it turned into a company, and you tried the B2C route, which is extremely hard, just getting it straight into the consumer, to the end consumer's hands. Then you went through a pandemic, then you built a B2B SaaS model, and here you are with your Peace of Mind product. So I was good. My next question was going to be, as a follow-up, how do you get that into the hands of the consumer? But you already kind of touched on the travel agents. Did you mention group benefits as well? So are you doing this through employers or through group benefits insurance carriers?
Yeah, through a group benefit insurance carrier. And the thing is, with the insurance, all of them claim to offer peace of mind to their customer, but at the end of the day, they pretty much offer all the same product. Right. So now we came with a new product, which is really engaging for the end customer, because we're always in touch with them from the beginning of the trip, through the trip.
Okay. And after.
So there's a lot of engagement and a lot of proactivity where we inform them about their ride and get that through their group benefit. And I mean, it's a couple of cents per member per month. Right. And they have access to that, which is an added value. And it's really offering the peace of mind to their customers. So it's really differentiating their self from the others.
That's a great like value add or perk to have within your employee benefits offering. So, you know, I can't imagine why you wouldn't have group benefits providers knocking down your door at this point. Can you explain to me a little bit. I'm going to put my consumer hat on for a second. How does it work? Can you walk me through a typical claim and how you talked about there's lots of interaction with the client. So assuming that I have this product, I got it through my group benefits carrier or my travel agent, and I need to make a claim. Can you walk me through what that would look like in a typical scenario?
Yeah, sure. I'm going to tell you a personal story, actually.
Okay.
So a few weeks ago, I went to Halifax for the weekend with my family. And coming back, we had a morning flight. So it was a 8:30 in the morning flight. And we arrive at the airport. And on the screen, we don't see the flight. So the flight is not on the screen. So we go to the register counter. And on the register counter, there's a small piece of paper that say that this counter will open at 3:30 in the afternoon. So we're there, like, our flight is at 8:30 in the morning. Is it late? Is it canceled? Are we going to have another flight? Nobody knew about it. And ultimately, I was the one talking to the 90 people that were there, telling them what's the right, what they have to do, what they're entitled to. And I was the only one smiling. And why I was smiling is because I got this in my pocket. I had the peace of mind. So I was receiving, well, while all the other ones were kind of sad, kind of angry.
Right.
I was receiving notification telling me that I was entitled to $1,000 per passenger and that the claim was already submitted and I had nothing to do.
Wow. Wow.
So that's one example. And we have another example I can give you. So one of the group benefit insurer that we're working with, they wanted to try the product before starting to selling it. So they were going on a trip to Vegas for a conference. Mm-hmm. I think you were at that conference, actually.
Yeah, yeah. The CIMA conference this October, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. When they were coming back, one of them, they lost his baggage. It was a direct flight, mm-hmm. Las Vegas, Montreal, and the luggage never came out. So he had the product. So he received a notification. You're entitled to this amount of money every day until it gets lost. Because at the beginning, it's not lost. It's really delayed luggage. After a few days, it gets considered as lost.
Yeah.
So he was receiving a notification telling him, here was your entitled to take a picture of your invoice if you have expenses, and it's already submitted to the airline. So he didn't have a lot of expenses because he was coming back here. But when he got his luggage, about 10 days after that, well, the luggage was broken and one of the shoes was missing. So he only had one shoe. So ultimately, he actually got $1,000 back from the airline and he had nothing to do.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. So during that interaction, if I'm the claimant and I'm a customer of Flight Claim, do I have to interact with the airline at all? Or if I open up a claim with you guys, you take over and you handle everything. How does that
we
work?
We take over the claim. I'm nothing to do. And we go up to the submission to the airline. So then after that,
you
get the payment directly to the airline. So we don't take the payment. We don't take a cut out of the payment. You get 100% of the compensation.
Yeah.
And you receive receive it directly from the airline and they have 30 days to pay.
Okay. So, and I can really see this catching on and gaining momentum. Now, I imagine you're getting great traction through your B2B channels. But I told you this when we met, I'm not aware of another solution out there that does this, at least in Canada. So if I'm a B2C customer and somehow I'm listening to this podcast and I don't have this as part of my group offering, is there still a B2C offering out there? Can regular customers still pay for a subscription? How does that work?
Well, we still have our B2C after the fact, so people can still go on a website, fill out a form if they had an issue. We don't sell the peace of mind upstream directly to the customer, so we really sell it through travel agency. So if the passenger, they go through a travel agency, they can ask their travel agency to add it to their file.
Okay.
Either ways, it's going to be through insurance, travel, group benefit, or credit card perks. So depending, we just launched the product, so we're starting to get there and on the market, but we don't sell directly the peace of mind product.
Right. And so, and the peace of mind product, that's essentially like a subscription, like is it a membership? How does that work?
Well, it's really depending on the channel. So if you go through a travel agency or through your travel insurer, well, it's a one-time fee. $15 fee per person per trip, regardless of the number of flight. If they got it through their group benefit, for example, well, then it's a couple of cents per month per
Right. Okay, perfect. Perfect. So what do you estimate, Jacob, is the amount of money that's sitting out there unclaimed? Like, how big is this pie? Because it sounds massive to me.
It is. When we're looking at the North America market, it's about $13 billion that sit in the pocket of the airline each year that it's non-claim.
That are owed to people, legitimately owed to people. $13 billion. That's crazy. And so there's probably at least $1 billion of that in Canada.
Well, it's about, in Canada, a normal year, it's about 161 million travel.
Okay.
In and out.
Yeah.
So there's a lot. Obviously, in the U.S., it's about 800 million, so it's way more.
Right.
But still, a lot of that is in Canada for sure.
Yeah, that's amazing. So as far as, you know, your journey as a startup, when did you guys have your first launch? Because you talked about it was before the pandemic. What year was that?
Yeah, we're like a new old startup, actually. So we started in 2016 with our B2C model. So went through until, well, it's still going on, but we had a massive growth until the pandemic. Obviously, with the new regulation that was in place, during the pandemic, we did the pivot and we just launched our new product 3 months ago.
3 months ago. And so as far as stage, because you had your minimum viable product out there already, you made some upgrades and some enhancements to the technology. I understand there's some AI as well. Can you talk about a little bit about, just so we can understand, the AI component of Flight Claim and then the human component? Because I imagine at some point or with certain claims, a human needs to get involved. How does that all work?
Well, on the peace of mind product, so it's all automated, and the AI we use mainly for the interaction with the passenger
for
a specific situation. Otherwise, it's all automated. So depending on the situation, depending on the country and the regulation applying, you're going to have different information that's going to come into you in real time.
Yeah.
And it's submitted directly to the airline. Where we go further, if the airline says, let's say they say, oh no, this situation don't give access to compensation because it's a crew issue and crew issue are out of our control, which is not, and we heard that a lot. So then that's where we got a law team internally, and that's where we get involved more on those kind of aspects.
Okay. All right. So you do have, I guess, different levels of support depending on the severity of the claim or the complexity of the claim.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic. So, can you talk a little bit about, what was it like getting your first customer, landing that first B2B deal? And, because I know you've watched some of the podcasts in the past and you were familiar with what we do in the community. A lot of our audience is founders and they're, putting together their first proof of concept or trying to secure their first proof of concept. I should say they've got their MVP, they're bootstrapping. What was it like for you to get that first customer? And can you tell us a little bit about the story and some of the things that you learned along the way?
Yeah, it's really funny because when we started on the B2C part of it, we had a lot of marketing to do because we had to inform and educate the passenger and make people aware of their right. So when we started the B2B SaaS model with a peace of mind, so we've been working on it for the past 2 years, but now we were ready to launch it. Mm-hmm. We often do some interview, television interview, radio interview. So, and this summer was quite busy because Canada was the worst country around the world.
Yes, it was.
And cancellation. So we were a lot out there. So we started two times. We spoke about that new product, Peace of Mind. And we tell, well, we just launched a new virtual assistant, Peace of Mind. You can get it through your travel agency. And then after that, we got 150 travel agencies that were calling us saying that the customer, they were going in the travel agency and asking for the product.
Wow.
So they were calling us to add the product and how can we sell your product? So that was a different journey. So we were like in a pull situation where people were asking for it.
That's amazing. But it took you 2 years to get to that. To get to that stage, right? There was some trial and error and some sleepless nights, I'm sure.
2 years. Yeah. Well, 2 years to build the product for sure. But when we launched, the momentum, because when we were ready, it's when people were resuming their travel. So they were starting to travel again, and it was the chaos around the world, but especially in Canada, the airport. So the momentum was just so great for us. So it just took off.
You really timed the market well. And so what about, the stage of the company as far as fundraising? Are you raising capital? Have you already raised capital? Are you self-funded? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, we did that, bootstrap it since the beginning. We just closed our seed round. And we're already starting to work on our Series A. And the reason is being that we're going in the U.S. So obviously, we need capital to get that new market. Our product right now, we do have a great window of opportunity. The market is huge, but we're the first one to get the product upstream and to be there at the beginning and all through the journey. So obviously we want to be there and help the most people as we can.
That's fantastic. Well, anything we can do within the community to help you with your Series A raise, that's part of the reason we exist. So we always talk about the three C's, community, customers, and capital. And founders need all three of those things to survive and thrive. So as far as your, but I have no doubt you're going to be successful. As far as expansion into the US, when I talk to founders, because it's very common, Canadian founders always want to go to the US. It's the largest economy in the world. You've got 50 different states. And at the state level, you have different regulations, different departments of insurance, different, I don't know about the regulatory environment from an airline standpoint, but can you talk about, is this just a federal issue? Is it that easy to go from one country to another? Or do you have to worry about the state level stuff?
Well, in our case, it's federal regulation. So it's the DOT department in the US that makes regulation for all airlines. So it's the same across the country.
Okay.
Our product is where it's already built. So for all regulation in Canada, US and European as well. So the product is already ready. What is tough, and I'm sure you know about that, John, in the insurance business, you need to have the contact. You need to have the right contact to get into the business or to talk to the right people. It's not just calling the person. So,
yeah.
So that's the hardest. And how we do that and what work well here in Canada and that we want to reply in the US, it's true accelerator. So when you go to those accelerators, like we did with Holt, which was amazing for us, you get access to those contacts and you get to demo your product and to be there in the showcase. So we're just doing the same right now. So we just applied to a New York FinTech accelerator to have access to those people, to talk to the right people.
That's fantastic. That's great. That's a great distribution strategy. And there's lots of different things that you can take out of being part of an accelerator as well. So to kind of just switch gears here a little bit, I want to dig into some challenges if you're open to talking about them. What would you say has been your biggest challenge launching a startup? You're already multinational here, right? And you've got travel agents calling you and saying, put me on. But I'm sure it wasn't all rainbows and lollipops.
Well, you know what's having a business like? It's a roller coaster. I mean, one day you're king of the world, and the other day you just get a brick in the face. But that's the journey, right? Mm-hmm. The biggest issue for us, for sure, it was the pandemic. So like I said, we were advocating for the new regulation. So we were all over the place. So we were at the Senate, House of Commons, Office of Transport of Canada. New regulation has been postponed, then came into place December 2019. And for us, we had amazing January, February, amazing month. All Canadian flights were now eligible for compensation. We were doing a lot of marketing. We staff it, we hire, we have a big team. And then 2 months after that, pandemic hit, they ground all the flights, they closed the border, they put the regulation on pause. We were the only country that did that, actually. We were the only country that were accepting travel voucher. All the other countries, US, Europe, they were forcing the airline to give refund in cash,
right?
Which Canada didn't until a year and a half after the pandemic. So it was a different market.
Wow.
And at some point, we had millions of dollars of claim that were sitting in the pocket of the airline. So that was hard because we had to evolve or die.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and ultimately, that was a good thing because that's why we made the pivot. But when you go through that and you don't know when it's going to come back, the trouble is going to come back because then you have phase one, phase two, phase three, and it's always coming back. And after 2 years, you don't know when it's going to end. It's like amazing. A walk in the desert at some point. And I mean, we had shareholders that were friends and family that were supporting us since the beginning, but now nobody knew when it was coming back. So they keep on going on the faith, but still it's hard for our founders and to keep the team motivated as well.
For sure.
So I think that was the hardest part, I would say.
Yeah. And, you know, travel and restaurant hospitality industry got hit the hardest. There's no doubt about it. Was there anything like that you found that worked for you? Like you talked about keeping the team motivated, like even in the best of times as a startup, I love what you said. One day you're a hero. The next day you got a brick in the face. Like it really is, you know, sometimes feast or famine and you go through a lot of valleys. When you're the founder, you can dig deep because you had that passion to start it and it's yours. But is there something that you found worked for you to keep the people around you, your team? Because the team is so important to keep them motivated.
Yeah, well, what helped a lot is that we're well surrounded for the founder part, I would say. I got a great board, people that are in the business, different business, but in the business community. They were all supportive. They were all behind me. That make a huge difference. For a team, we at some point went work at home 100%.
Yeah.
And when we came back to the office, some were really happy to come back to the office, but some didn't want to come back to the office because now they were starting to travel again. And some live on the island. And for some people, it's harder. But you kind of lose a little bit of your team spirit after a year and a half of these working at home. So to put back that together was still tough to build the big. It's like building a new team.
You're rebuilding company culture. Like it can go both ways, right? Like you can maybe shed some dead weight. You know, people that just they're not a fit anymore. But you really do have to give people more reasons than you did before the pandemic. Because we can't change what that did to everyone's perspective. Everyone just has different expectations now. It's challenging, especially when you can't necessarily offer them the things that they would get as a startup, that they would get at like a Fortune 500 company, or if they went to go work for a bank or an insurance company, right? Where they'd have a nice office and...
And the market was changing because before the pandemic, there was a shortage of people, of employees, but not that much. Well, after the pandemic, everybody was looking for people. So those big companies that have way more money than we have,
right?
All kind of stuff. So the only thing that we offer is the spirit.
Yeah.
So,
better be pretty darn good.
But,
and the mission, and the mission, right?
Yeah, yeah, and the mission for sure. And we do, just to tell you a little bit, a small story. We had a guy that came, he was a product owner. So we used to work for an airline, know the industry, came to work with us, had an offer like almost double his salary, went there. And he loved the company. So he keep on his heart the company. So he's still working at night with us a little bit on the project and stuff like that. After a few weeks, he said, "Hey, Jacob, can I come back? Can I come back?" I said, "Well, I cannot offer you what they're offering money-wise. I can't afford that. So I'm going to cut my salary. I want to come back."
It's amazing. That's amazing. No, that's the biggest compliment that you can get, right? And I think that's one of the things that attracts people to startups is they're usually mission-based, purpose-based companies. And not to say that big companies can't be that, but sometimes you just get so big, you just feel like you're a cog in a wheel. And in a startup, you can see the impact of your efforts almost immediately. And there's less layers between you and the decision maker. You're often shoulder to shoulder with the founder. And you guys are doing a good thing. You guys are helping consumers. I hope everybody listens to this podcast. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that it gets out there in front of as many eyeballs and ears as possible. Because, you know, $13 billion owed to the consumer, that's just absolutely ridiculous. And it makes me wonder, if I'm getting frustrated now thinking about it, what is my member of parliament doing? Like, did you find, and I don't want to beat up on the government, but we're not getting any government funding anyway. No, I shouldn't say that. were they open to, because that was a long process, and then the pandemic hits and they go to vouchers. Was there resistance, and was there anybody else at the table lobbying like you guys were, or were you guys leading the charge on your own?
Well, the thing is, first of all, when they build the new regulation, the lobby of the airline is so strong, or was so strong in Canada, that they almost built it for the airline, not for the customer at the end of the day.
Imagine that. Yeah.
But things are starting to turn around, because now with the impact that we had this summer, where Canada was the worst in terms of delays and cancellation and luggage. Yeah. And now there's a lot of political pressure. So we were at the House of Commons a few weeks ago. And the thing is, it's not only the regulation, the system is broken right now. And why? It's not about the regulation. You can have the best regulation that you can have, but if there's no enforcement, it's like having speed limit, but no one's looking if you're following the speed limit or not. And that's pretty much what's happening right now, because with the Office of Transport of Canada, which they're the one that you go to if you want to fight a decision of the airline. So airline have 30 days to pay. But if they do not, you have to go to the Office of Transport, but they have 2 years delay to close the file. So airline, they know about it. And they know that 90% of the people, they won't go to a step further.
No.
So knowing that, well, they play the game, and that's what's broken. It's not about the regulation. It's really about the process behind it. And that's what we were talking about. And I think we will see a lot of change in the coming month because it's not acceptable no more.
Yeah. You just triggered something there. You said 2 years. Does that mean if I have access to flight claim through my plan, that I can go back as far as 2 years to make a claim? Or is there a limit there?
Well, there is a limit, and it's really by country. So in Canada, you have a year to make a claim. But if you use European regulation or US regulation, European is going to be between 3 and 20 years, depending on the country.
Wow.
Okay. And the US is going to be able to go 3 years back. So it's really depending on the country.
Okay. Fantastic. Yeah. And, I love the movement that you're getting. I'm sure you're not winning any friends or getting any Christmas cards from the airline industry, but you know what? It's owed to the consumer. And we don't have a lot of choice in Canada either. When you think about it, right? There's like, what airlines do we have to choose from at the end of the day?
So that's the issue, because obviously if you don't get a good service, you can say, well, next time I won't use this airline.
Yeah.
We really have two real airlines and four for leisure travel. Yeah. And that's part of the issue. But really, we're really a counterpart of the way that people are treated. I mean, that's what we're doing.
Yeah. And, you know, just to avoid sitting on the phone, waiting on hold to submit a claim, and I've submitted claims through airlines and there's no reply, and you get a notification, an acknowledgement from a mailbox that says no reply. So, and then there's no way to log in and check the status of your claim. It's so frustrating. So just that alone, if I can avoid that, it's worth it. And so what you guys have built, I think it's brilliant. I love what you're doing. Just closing thoughts here, Jacob. I don't know if there was anything else, anything we didn't cover that you wanted to talk about, but you know, usually I like to close on what would you like to be known for when people think about Flight Claim? What do you want them to think about?
Well, we really want to know as the helper. We're really there to help, but also to educate people, because there's a lack of knowledge. Because obviously no one's read the 150 pages of fine print that come with the airline ticket, nor the regulation. And we cannot expect people to read it neither. So the issue is to have the information at the right moment. And that's what we provide. So we're there really to give peace of mind to those people that are traveling. And that's the concept behind it.
That's a great thing to be known for. So if people want to find out more about Flight Claim, what's the best way to get in touch with you or to find you guys?
Well, obviously the website, they have all the contact information on the website. We don't see peace of mind on the website. It's really our B2C website for after the fact, but the contact are there. There's also a partnership link. So people out there that want to be partner with us, they can reach out. Obviously, they can reach out to me directly. I'm pretty sure you'll give them access to my contact information. If not, well, we can reach out or find a way.
I'm going to post your cell phone number in the YouTube notes. Don't worry. No, just joking. Thanks for sitting down with me tonight, Jacob. It was really fun. Enjoyed every minute of it. And again, I love what you're doing for the consumer and what you're doing, to change legislation in not just our country, but in other places as well. Keep being that advocate. And I think that's a good thing to be known for as the helper to the consumer. So thanks again for what you're doing.
Hey, thank you, John.